I'd like you to turn with me in the scriptures to the book of Deuteronomy, to the 27th and 28th chapters. I'm going to do things just a little differently this evening and allow the scriptures more or less to speak for themselves. I'll probably say far more than I intended to, but I trust that it will be of profit and benefit to you. Moses' exposition of the Ten Commandments has ended. There follows a very dark and somber description of the curses that will come upon the Israelites if they fail to obey these laws that he has been expanding upon. Yes, there are blessings stated also, but they seem to be engulfed by the curses and almost completely forgotten before the speech is concluded. This is in contrast to the first generation, for whom blessings bore the emphasis at Mount Sinai some 40 years earlier. Those 40 years in the wilderness have clearly provided a background of doubt with regard to the Israelites' ability to keep the law, or even their desire to do so. Let us read from Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster, and you shall write on them all the words of this law, when you cross over to enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. And when you have crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones, concerning which I command you today, on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall wield no iron tool on them. You shall build an altar to the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God, and you shall sacrifice peace offerings, and shall eat there, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly." Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." That day Moses charged the people, saying, "When you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice, 'Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret.' And all the people shall answer and say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to a sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's nakedness." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, with the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law." And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbour in secret. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land and the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go and serve after other gods. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation and fiery heat, and with drought and with blight and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish, and the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder. From heaven dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for all birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. And there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with tumours and scabs and itch of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. and you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually. There shall be no one to help you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Your donkey shall be seized before your face, but you shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, but there shall be no one to help you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and of all your labours, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you are driven mad by the sights that your eyes see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone. And you shall become a horror, a proverb, a byword among all the peoples where the Lord will lead you away. You shall carry much seed into the field, and shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall father sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and lacking everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the end of the earth, swooping down like the eagle, and nations whose language you do not understand, a hard-faced nation who shall not respect the old or show mercy to the young. It shall eat the offspring of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed. It also shall not leave you grain, wine, or oil, the increase of your herds or the young of your flock, until they have caused you to perish. They shall besiege you in all your towns, until your high and fortified walls, in which you trusted, come down throughout your land. And they shall besiege you in all your towns, throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you. The man who is the most tender and refined among you will begrudge food to his brother, to the wife he embraces, and to the last of the children whom he has left, so that he will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his children whom he is eating, because he has nothing else left, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in all your towns. The most tender and refined woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she is so delicate and tender, will begrudge to the husband she embraces, to her son and to her daughter, her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, because, lacking everything else, she will eat them secretly, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in your towns. If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting. And he will bring upon you again all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness, also every affliction that is recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you, and you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. And the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples, from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot, but the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, "If only it were evening." And at evening you shall say, "If only it were morning." Because of the dread that your heart shall feel, and the sights that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. These are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he had made with them at Horeb. The Israelites have entered into an agreement with God. Obedience to his law will reap the fruit of wonderful blessings. God will be with them. God will be their God. God will protect them. God will provide for them. God will pour out upon them such wonderful blessings that they will only rise higher and higher. All the nations will look to them and seek aid from them. They will need no helper, for God will be their help and prosper them in all they do. Whatever their hands touch will flourish. And this is the agreement that Israel agrees to. But disobedience will ensure the outpouring of dreadful curses. Curses that it's difficult to read without being astounded. Curses that cause the heart to shudder. How could anyone stoop to these inhumane conditions? And yet it happens all over the world. We see news reports of individuals or whole nations that are reduced to these kinds of conditions, where man's inhumanity to man seems to know no limit, and the ugliness of his heart is put on full display. Sadly, the Israelites did fail. Despite the fact they had been given due warning at Mount Ebal, they repeatedly broke this agreement that they had entered into. And they, in large measure, endured the curses that these chapters speak of. During the period of the judges, their history ebbs and flows with the realities of these curses. And while for a couple of generations during the reigns of King David and King Solomon, they mount the heights of the blessings that are described here, it is only a brief ascent before they plunge into the darkness of the reigns of kings who one after another forsook God, with only the occasional glimpse of the light of reformation in the hearts of a few kings in Judah. It proves the sin sickness of man's heart. Who can deliver us from this body of death? That's what the Apostle Paul asks in the book of Romans. Who can deliver us from the corruption of man's heart? Who can deliver us from the evil that lurks within us, so that any one of us in this room this evening, given the right situations, would descend into this kind of cursed existence? Who can deliver us? We need a unique deliverer. We need a deliverer who is not subjected to the weaknesses that we all have, to the sin that has infiltrated our minds and motives, our hearts and our actions. We need a deliverer who has come to us from another realm, another world. We need one who is able to enter and invade this world of sin. And God has provided such a deliverer. God has sent his own Son into this world. But this is a strange deliverer, in that he is not of this world, and yet he has come into this world and become a part of this world, humbling himself by taking on the form of man, to be one with us, and to share in our weaknesses, and yet, by the strength of the Spirit, to resist temptation and not to succumb to it. The world was in need of a deliverer who could guarantee the blessings of the law's fulfillment, and who could satiate the curses deserved by the lawbreakers. And this is what Jesus Christ came to do. He is Israel, the righteous one. He came into this world to fulfill the law. He came into this world to win the blessings that this passage speaks to us of. The blessings of God outpoured without measure, without end. And in this deliverer's obedience to every command of God, every decree that he has made, every law that he has given, the Lord Jesus Christ has won a righteousness for his people that he grants to us as a garment of salvation. He came to fulfill the law on our behalf in our place, so that we could receive the blessings of perfect obedience. But Jesus Christ came to do more than be good for us. He came to be punished for us. He came into this world not only to be our representative in fulfilling the demands of the law, but he also came into this world to be our substitute in bearing the curse of God upon the lawbreaker. And so, Jesus, the perfect one, the innocent one, died upon the cross of Calvary. And so he was forsaken by his God. And so he bore the wrath that was due to sinful men. He bore the outpouring of God's curses that we deserved in order that we might be saved. And so it's these two aspects of the work of the deliverer that we need has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. He's fulfilled the law and he has borne the curse for all who trust themselves to him and believe in him. The question remains, does the law place upon us any further demand? If we trust in Jesus Christ, he has met the law's demands, has he not? He has satisfied the law's curse, hasn't he? So what more is there for us? Let me ask you a question. Do you want to go to heaven? Well, most people will say, yes, I want to go to heaven. I believe I am going to heaven. Then I would have to ask, well, what is heaven? Where is heaven? And many different replies would be given, I'm sure. Heaven is paradise. Heaven is Eden restored. Heaven is a place of perfect peace and abundance. It's a place of plenty and pleasure. It's a place of the absence of sorrow and pain. It's the place of the deepest satisfaction. And all of that, I have no doubt, is true. But in saying that, we have not said enough. We would have to add to all of that, heaven is the place where righteousness dwells. What righteousness? The righteousness of a new heaven and earth? The goodness, the rightness of a perfect creation once again, the very good pronouncement of God upon a world that he has prepared for his people, that righteousness which would include all those things that I've just described to you, the perfect pleasure and joy and satisfaction and peace and comfort and the absence of pain and sorrow and sin. Certainly, the righteousness of a new heaven and earth. The goodness of paradise. But that falls far short of what we must mean and understand by the fact that heaven is where righteousness dwells. We must, of course, think about the righteousness of a perfect creator. We must think about that absolute purity of the God who spoke this world into existence in the first place, who created it to honour his own name for his own glory. He dwells in heaven. And if we long for heaven, if we want to go to heaven, we are longing to go where God is. In all of his perfection, in all of his holiness, in all of his righteousness. And you see, these laws of which we have been studying these past few weeks in the book of Deuteronomy are all reflections of that righteousness, of that purity, of that holiness. They're reflections of the character of God, who God is and what God is like. If we want to go to heaven, then we're saying we want to be in the presence of one who is like that. One who is perfect and pure and holy. But there is still more that we must say. when we speak about heaven as the place where righteousness dwells. And it's this. It is the righteousness of a redeemed people. In other words, the only people who can go to heaven are holy people. The only people who can enter this paradise and be in the presence of this perfect creator are people who are pure themselves. And of course, we've just spoken about that. Christ came to make us pure. Christ came to make us good. Christ came to bear our sins, to take away the curse, to fulfill the law of God for us. Therefore, in him, we find our righteousness. Therefore, through him, we can approach God and enter into heaven. That is all true. But if you yearn for heaven, that is to yearn for righteousness. A righteousness that begins here, now, in this life. A righteousness that is not the basis for deserving heaven, but it is in preparation for the perfect righteousness of heaven. I ask you again, do you want to go to heaven? And you say to me, yes, of course I want to go to heaven. So I ask you the question, are you righteous? Are you pursuing righteousness today? Are you endeavouring to live a holy life today? Are you seeking purity of mind today? Are you keeping yourselves from places of temptation today? You see, all of that must be wrapped up in the desire for heaven. If you want righteousness in the hereafter, it must start now. It's not enough to say, Christ is my righteousness. For if Christ truly is your righteousness, you will want to be righteous as well, to do righteousness yourself. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear that Christ's coming, Christ's saving work, includes this work that we call the work of sanctification. When he writes to the church in Ephesus and says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And I ask you, where is that happening? When is that happening? It isn't happening in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet blasts and the angels escort Jesus back into this world, that this happens. No, this is happening now. It should be happening in your life today, Christian. That Christ is working in you, removing every spot and wrinkle and every other blemish, so that you might be holy before him. And so, John heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And so we read of blessings and we read of curses, and our spine tingles and our mind races, and we ask, so what? That's old history. That's Israel's agreement. No, it's not. It's the true Israel's agreement. It's the Son's agreement. And therefore it is the agreement of all those who entrust themselves to the Son. Blessings, curses. Christ has earned the blessing. Christ has borne the curse for those who trust in him. Do you trust in him? Prove it. Be righteous as he is righteous. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you as a people who are convicted in our hearts that we fall far short of your standard. Every day we fall short. We're convicted in our hearts that we do not try enough, we are not deliberate enough, we are not self-controlled enough. We are too lax, too lazy, too indifferent. Father, help us to understand the reality of what Jesus Christ has done. Help us to see the wonder of his faithfulness, his obedience, his perfect loyalty to you, reflected in his fulfillment of all of the law's demands. Help us to understand what he bore that day when he died upon the cross. Help us as we meditate over these curses that we have read together this evening to consider that he has borne them all for those who will trust in him. And as the law then is fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ, and as the curses have been satiated for us by Jesus Christ, may we live in righteousness, for righteousness, that we may be ready on the day of his coming. Help us, we pray, in all of our weakness. Have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.